Ephesians, the first chapter. I'm going to kind of go back on some things that we've shared before. You can never wear them out. We're talking about the ability to know yourself the way God knows you. You know, in my mind, in my perception, a lot of times I'm thinking of myself different than the way God thinks of me. And I got to get my perception of myself. I got to get my thinking of myself. I got to get my identification of myself like what he thinks of me. So the Bible is what does that for us. Ephesians, the first chapter, and look at the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, when I see this is written to the people at Ephesus, the saints at Ephesus, but then I see the next part, it says, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, then I know that that's talking about me. So this is a letter to me from the Apostle Paul, because I'm a faithful person in Christ Jesus. I don't take this as just like a book in the Bible. I take this as a letter to me. And it's a letter to you too. It's not a private letter. It's a public letter, but it's to all of us. If we're faithful in Christ, this letter is to us. The second verse says, grace be to you, that would be to the faithful in Christ Jesus, which we are, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul, he's greeting in the first of the letter. He's saying, I just want you to know there's grace to you and there's peace from God our Father. So God the Father is saying, all you faithful people and all you saints at Ephesus, all you faithful people in Christ, I just want you to know that God is giving you now grace. He's saying grace to you and peace from our God, from our Lord Jesus Christ. So I say right now, I've got the peace, because the letter of Ephesians, the first chapter, is telling me that God has given me this. The Apostle Paul is the go-between between God the Father and us. Look at the first verse again, Ephesians 1 and 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, notice he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. By the will of God, he's an apostle by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, that would be the people at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, and that means the people in China, that means the people in Russia, that means the people in Pakistan, that means the people in England and France and Germany, anybody in America that's faithful in Christ Jesus, this letter is written to you. And so you need to take it personally. I just got a letter in the mail. A letter from heaven. I just got a letter from heaven. And it's the book of Ephesians. It's the letter of Ephesians. Okay? Grace be to you. Grace be to me, because I'm a faithful person in Christ Jesus. Grace be to me and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you see peace, you can take that two ways. Peace means a calm tranquility. That means nothing shook up. You know, like if you see a peaceful body of water, like a lake, and there's no wind blowing, so there's no waves coming across, okay, that water is peaceful. You know, you can speak of peace that way. But in this text, it's not talking about like a peace that brings tranquility. He's talking about the war has stopped. Have you ever heard of a peace treaty? The war has stopped between God and man. See, no longer am I or God at war with me. There's peace between God and us by the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we know there's been some chaos right now lately in Iran, and they've been doing some things, and we've been doing some things, and I'm talking about combat-type situations, you know. Well, if Iran decided and America decided that they would not be at conflict with each other anymore, that they would be allies. See, right now, Japan is our ally. Germany is our ally right now. But you know, at one state of history, Japan was at war with us. And we were at war with Japan. We were at war with Germany. Germany was our adversary, our enemy. But now we have German people in our congregation. We used to be at war with Germany. So the German people were ruled by Hitler. And so here we are coming against America. USA is coming against Germany. But now peace has come. There's been a signing of peace. Well, God is saying, I want you to know that you're my ally now. You're my family. You're my friend. And there is no more war. No more war between you and me. I don't have a combat with you. I'm not at war with you. Peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now, I like to look at words and talk to myself about those words. Question the word. Who hath, H-A-T-H. Now, that means it's past tense.
Okay.
He hath blessed me.
Yes.
See, people say, I ask God to bless me. God hath blessed me.
Yeah.
God hath blessed me. I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God hath blessed us with all, not just a little bit, with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Because a covenant has been made between God and me through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know Egbert is not taking care of a bunch of women in town. He's got one woman. He's got Sister Netta. And Sister Netta is his woman. And he's going to watch over her. He's going to take care of her. He's going to provide for her. He's going to bless her.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I got one woman too.
Yeah.
Been with her for 51 years now. And I know that she has my backing. I am for her. If she's financially strapped, then I'm financially strapped. If sure her health problems are going, then I'm going through.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of people in town that are having financial difficulty, but I'm not running to their aid because I'm not in covenant with them like I'm in covenant with Lejeune. Lejeune is my covenant partner. Well, God is in covenant with each one of us. And he is responsible. When it says he hath blessed us, that means he's future blessing us. Because what he did when we received Jesus as our personal Savior brought us into his family, brought us into his covenant, which now blesses me the rest of my life. He blessed me the day I got born again and all the other blessings that come upon me because I have faith in my covenant.
Right.
So when I go to approach God, I don't approach him as a sinner.
Come on.
I don't approach him as a person outside of the covenant. I'm married to God. God is married to me. So I'm blessed.
Amen.
And the more I say I'm blessed, the more the blessings start coming upon me. Like Brother Lonnie's been saying, I got the favor. Well, you got to have a thinking of I have the favor. God's love for me, God's favor is now mine. And it will cause things to happen. See, the blessing that I got when I got born again causes 10 years from now me to have blessings. I got blessed. Now I get blessings. Okay. Fourth verse. According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. He has chosen Brother James. He has chosen me. He has chosen you before the foundation of the world. You were handpicked by God. I was handpicked by God. What I got to do is start recognizing how blessed I am. You know, LeJune and I, we talk, you know, we're a little bit young chickens. Well, not chickens. We're human beings. We're God beings. But we talk to each other. You know, we walk around the house. You know, we've got a newer house now than we had before. Well, it's the same age, but it's newer to us. somebody else lived there before we got there. But what I'm trying to say is we walk around and we say, you know, God has blessed us. God has blessed us. And I tell the Jew every once in a while, I say, you know how good you've been for me?
Hallelujah. Look at that.
Yeah, you've just been so good to me. And she'll tell me, you know, I've been good for her. And I said, say it again. I'll say it to you. Now you say it to me. Okay. We've been good for each other, haven't we? Just, you know, sometimes our kids don't exactly do what we want them to do, even though they do most of the things what we want them to do. But sometimes they don't do exactly what we want. You know, the older you get, the more scrutiny you want to put on people. So, but I always say, you know, we got the best kids.
Amen.
You know, yeah. Even though they got some flaws that, and they got parents that's got flaws too. I mean, they got some parents that's messed up. Okay. We messed up when we were young parents, especially in the house. You know, if I could go back and I could relive my parenting days, I would have never chewed out their mom in front of them.
Right.
But I did back then. I messed up. Danny should have never heard me say a word against LeJune in the house in a negative way. But he did. And he heard her say things to me that wasn't right. But we walk around talking many times just how thankful we are for being a part of each other's life. And we just need to come sometimes just walk around and thank God. What would I be without Jesus? What would I be without the saving grace? Look, Jesus has done this for me. And Jesus has done that for me. And so I just need to be thankful. The more you appreciate what you have that God has given you, the more you will see things coming that he wants to give you. If there's a lack of appreciation for the things that God has already done, you will not have the expectation to receive something more from him. In your appreciation of what he's done, it brings back to your remembrance how powerful he is. Sometimes the devil can lock us into, you know, nothing is happening right in my life. But if I go back and thank God for what he's done, then I start having faith to bring to pass what I need to have done now in my future. So the devil's always trying to lock me into the mindset that I won't get out of this jam. He's always trying to say, you know, you can't depend on God. That's his job. That's the devil's job, is to tell you you can't trust God. So you got to let the liar know. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Liar, liar, pants on fire. act like a little kid sometimes. Tell the devil, liar, liar, pants on fire. Because all he is a liar.
That's right.
He's just a liar. He tell you God's not going to help you here and God's not going to help you there. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We used to do that as a kid. You know, my brothers, I had two brothers. One was really young, and he was like 7 years younger than me, and my other was 2 years older than me. And sometimes they'd lie to mom and daddy. They'd say, I did something I didn't do. And I'd say, you're a liar. You're a liar. Mom said, hush that up, boy. And I'd come up with something like this. He's a liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I don't know where I got that. I guess I got it at school. But the devil is a liar. He's a liar, liar, and his pants are on fire. And there will be a day where he's in a lake of fire, and it'll be more than his pants on fire. The whole devil himself is going to be on fire. Hallelujah. But what I'm trying to get across to you is the devil is always trying to get you to not think about how blessed you are. Look at the fifth verse. Having Ephesians 1 and 5, or the fourth verse, and we'll read in the fifth. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy without blame before him in love. How am I holy and without blame before him in love? He chose me to be holy without blame before him in love. See, this is what God thinks. See, you might think that you missed it. You did this wrong. You did that wrong. In fact, yesterday I should have done that. Today I should have done this. And you might be going through this, I should have, not, I should have, that type of mentality. Well, when you got saved, God saw the blood of Jesus applied.
Wow.
To all of your sins, past sins, present sins, and future sins. And the way God sees you right now is holy, unblameable, because of the blood of Jesus. It's not because you haven't done something wrong. We know you have. You know, I know that Brother Kevin back there, he's done more things wrong than you can shake a stick at. I love Brother Kevin. But here's Sister Andre, here's me, here's you. We've done all these things wrong. But God says, wow. I'm going to choose you to be holy and unblameable. How can you be unblameable when you've done something to be blamed for? You're unblameable because the blood takes away what you did wrong, and now you're unblameable. Have some faith in the blood. The blood of Jesus remits all of our sins. This is good news. Okay, look at the fifth verse again. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, Ephesians 1 and 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Predestinated us. There's coaches right now being chosen for professional football teams because other coaches got fired. I don't know if y'all paid any attention to the Dallas Cowboys. The Dallas Cowboy coach, he had his time, but you know what? He wasn't performing good enough for the owner of the Dallas Cowboys. So he got his walk-in papers. Now, he probably made millions and millions and millions of dollars. He could retire, you know, being a losing coach. But no longer did the owner want this Garrett, you know, to be the coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So now they're choosing somebody else, an older experienced coach. And but they chose the owner of the Cowboys chose this person to be their coach. God has chosen us. He's predestinated us.
Yes, thank you.
He's predetermined.
Glory.
He's predetermined.
Come on.
To make me his child.
Hallelujah.
He, before I was ever born, God said, I want that Paul Craig.
Glory.
I want that Frederick Gale.
Glory.
I want that Andre Girard.
Glory.
I want that McDonald.
Yeah.
I want them to be my child.
Yeah.
You know, when we have children, you know, they pop out, we get what we got. Can I get a witness? And sometimes we're thinking, let's take them back. You know, Danny, my son, you know, Danny, he was 5 years old. And when Cammy was born, Cammy comes, and, you know, everybody's paying attention to Cammy.
Yeah.
Grandma and granddad, you know, they've had Danny for 5 years, and Danny's the best in the West. And our little, and he's the first grandson, too, of all of them. Danny is number one, uno. And now we got Cammy. And grandma and granddad and mom and daddy are paying so much attention to little Cammy.
Yeah.
And Danny, 5 years old, is having to go to kindergarten at the same time.
Wow.
He's having to leave the house and go to kindergarten, and the new baby's coming into the house. And Danny told LeJune one day, LeJune was talking to him about, you know, how did he like his new little sister? And he said, no, I think you need to take her back to the hospital. He was being honest.
Yes, he was.
Take her back to the hospital. We don't need her. He didn't want us. He didn't want us making a to-do over Cammy. And then I found out later, because I bought a lot of old cars, painted them, fixed them up, tuned them up, and then I set them on the front yard, and I sold them. Now, I'd be driving them during that time, too. Well, Danny, for 1 through 5 years old, he was starting to understand that we'd be driving different cars every day. You know, I would drive this car for a little while, and I'd put it on the front yard, and I'd sell it. You know, I probably, in his first 5 years, I probably had 100 cars. On the front yard. Back then, you didn't even have to have a dealership license. You could just sell off of your property. And, you know, I sold many a cars I fixed up. Well, Danny was watching this process. And in his little mind, the devil started tormenting him. He saw every time we got a new car, I mean, it wasn't a new car, but a car to sell, he'd get in another car that I was selling. That I'd sell a car. I'd sell that car. And he'd say, where's the car at? I sold it. And then we'd have another car, and I'd sell that car. And then I'd have another car, and I'd sell that car. And he thought, the devil told him, that when we got Cammy, that he was going to be sold.
Oh, wow.
He thought that we were going to sell him just like we sold those cars. And that's why he wanted us to take her back to the hospital. He didn't want to get sold. But back to my point, though. I'm trying to get across something to you. Y'all keep pulling these stories out of me. Okay, now back to my point. God saw me before I ever lived. Before I was ever born. He saw me. And he said, that's who I want. He chose me. When you was a kid and you was having, you know, pickup team, you know, maybe play a little football or something, baseball, and they choose teams. Make two captains. Okay, now you choose your team out of these bunch of kids. How many of you like to be chose last? I mean, you're the last over here, and they choose you. You know, they know you ain't no good, so they're going to choose you last. Well, you don't like that. You don't feel very special, do you? Be chosen last. If you're number one pick, don't you feel better? We got to get Brother James on our team because he's a home run hitter. And he's number one pick. James feels real good about himself because he got picked first. What I'm trying to tell you is God chose you and he chose me. Mankind might give us a low self-esteem or a low self-worth. And you might even give yourself a low self-worth. You might have put yourself down for years and years and years. I'm not good at this. I'm not good at that. And you've told yourself, maybe I'm too fat. Maybe I'm too skinny. Maybe I'm too short. Maybe I'm too tall. You know, I walked in the store the other day, and I thought this lady was standing on a box or something, on a ladder. She wasn't. I mean, she was that tall. I bet you she was 8.5 foot tall almost. Wow. I'm thinking, man, where's David at with the rock? I mean, she was a giant. And you know what? She had to probably get down to the nitty gritty on, because she would stand out in the crowd. I mean, she really would. Now, she probably wasn't 8.5 foot. I bet you she was 7 foot more. I mean, she was tall, tall lady. I'd never seen a woman in our town that tall. And that's got to give you a problem. Because you're walking around other people that are 5 foot five, 6 foot. You know, they're pretty close to face level. You're seeing each other face level when you're grown-ups. And now you're head and shoulders over top of most people. And they're having to look up at you. You could get a stigma.
Man.
You could. You could think, how you know, why did God make me 7 foot five? You know, why did this happen to me? Well, if you can get to a place where you can say, God saw that I'm special and he made me 7 foot 5 inches tall. Nobody else is like me. I'm a real special person. Hallelujah. Or maybe if you're 3 foot five and people still think you look like a kid, but you're 55 years old. You know, you got to get to a place where you think that God thinks you're special. Your attitude will cause you to be accepted with other people. I don't care how many flaws you got. You could be burnt on your face when you're young and have a big old scar on your face. But if you have a good attitude, you can make up for that scar. When people are staring at you, you can make up kind of jokes.
Yeah.
You can say, you know what happened to me? My mama didn't like me too much, and she slapped me with a hot frying pan. And they say, what? Your mama did that to you? Yeah, and they took her to jail too. That's the way I would have done. Line. And then you could come up with something like this. You say, I had you going, didn't I? I had you going.
Right.
I just lying. I just fibbing. I just joking. And they'd laugh and laugh and laugh, and they wouldn't even care about your scar.
Right.
But people would look in the mirror and they see their scar and they think, people think I'm weird. People think I'm weird. People think I've got this big old, and I'm so bad. See, all that goes out the window when you know you're chosen of God.
Yes,
when you know that God thinks you're special. You can get rid of insecurities. There's so many people that are walking around on eggshells almost around people. They have social skills or kneel because they put themselves down for so long. They think everybody else is thinking about them the way they're thinking about them. And they don't give themselves very much value, so they think everybody else don't think they're very valuable either. And so many times they get mean. They get mad. I wished I could have been born, you know, a small bone. I'm a big bone person. You know, I'm a little bit heavier than other people. And I wished I could have been born with smaller bones. Well, you're not born with smaller bones. You're born like you are.
Come on.
So accept it.
Hallelujah.
You know, if I was a real, real fat person, I'd make fat jokes about myself. I would. Just so I could get people to like me.
Wow.
Now that's without Jesus.
Okay.
You see this happen. There's comedians all the time that make fun of themselves constantly. They just make fun of themselves. And they have a good old time just joking about themselves. Instead of putting themselves down, they just take it as, well, take what God's word says. God is not prejudice. God is not prejudice. If he made you with blue eyes, he liked you with blue eyes. If he made you black, he liked you with black skin. If he liked you white, he made you with white skin. If he liked you yellow with polka dots, just get excited about your polka dots. Hallelujah. Just see God. Just see God loving on you. Y'all hearing this? You know, somebody told me one time, you know, if you don't get things changed after you're 6 years old, you'll never change.
What?
That's right. The 6 years old is your formative years. Whatever happens to you from 0 to 6, you're going to live with the rest of your life. If you think that you're no good, if you think you're this or you think you're that, between those years of 0 and 6, you can never get rid of it. If you think of yourself in a negative way from 0 to 6, that's why it's so important for parents to be so positive with children. Okay. Don't ever call them they're dumb. Okay. Don't call them stupid. Mm-hmm. You're the dumbest kid on the block. Don't ever say that. Right. Because it's sticking in. The devil's using that. But I've heard people say, well, you know, if they're treated bad between 0 and 6, you know, you can't hardly help them. But I learned something. I was 29 years old. I was 29 years old. I live with stigma after stigma after stigma for 29 years. I was messed up. My head was messed up. But at 29 years old, I got saved. I got saved and I started reading the Bible and I started seeing in the Bible who I was. This is what God says I am. The Bible is what God says I am. So what I believed these 29 years, I'm not going to believe it anymore. I am just not going to believe that I'm a dummy.
That's right.
At school, they used to, all the girls would laugh at me. They would. They'd laugh at me because I'd get 50 on my test I'd get back. That's when I couldn't find somebody to cheat off of. You know, if I cheated, I got 100. But as me passing a test on my own, it was like, man, and I got a problem. Wow. I can't read. I can't do, you know, I read something and I couldn't even understand what I was reading. Now, most of the time, it's because I was, the word that was written down, I was not even reading the right word. I was saying the wrong word. Because I didn't even know spelling. I couldn't even understand that was that word. But then at 29 years old, I got saved. And then 5 years later, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I become a whiz. Man, I started memorizing the Bible. I started putting it on. And I mean, a verse a day, 30 days, I had 30 verses memorized. And man, I still couldn't hardly read. I was having a hard time reading, so I'd memorize. And then I'd get up and I'd take my Bible. And this is when I first started preaching. I'd get up and take my Bible because I'd stumble over all the words when I was preaching. So I'd memorize all of them. And I'd get up and I was acting like I was reading. But my mind wasn't even on what I was reading. I'd already memorized it. I was quoting it.
Wow.
But see, I had a hard time with this learning disability. But I got saved. And then I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of my problems with people. See, I was thinking people were mad at me. And I was thinking people didn't think I was this. And people didn't think I was that. And it's all lies from the devil. Most people, if I challenge them, said, "How come you didn't like? How come you don't like me?" I didn't even think about not liking you. But I was thinking it. They were filling my head full of stuff like that. But once I got my security from God, once I got my value from God, man, my personal relationships with people started changing. I've told you this before, but there's five realms of our existence: physical, financial, social, mental, and spiritual. There's five realms of your existence. Physical, you know that people can be healthy, prosperous in their body, never get sick, physical prosperity. Financial, broke, can't even pay tension. I mean, they're real good physical. Their physical health is wonderful. They're prosperous in their physical, but their financial is a wreck. Well, there's people that can have the physical and the financial prosperity, but socially,
right,
they're broke. They don't have any friends. I always said this: I'd rather have somebody poor,
come on,
and have social prosperity,
right,
than somebody that's rich and can't even talk to anybody. I mean, they're nervous. Everywhere they go, they're nervous. They get in a crowd, and it's like, I can't handle this. What is it? Their social prosperity is not there. But once you start taking on the Bible personality, take on God's personality, I mean, you can get in a crowd. Some people can't even stand crowds because there's too many people looking at them, they think. And they think that they're ugly. And if they get in a crowd with 50, they think 50 people are looking at me and telling me how ugly I am. You know, LaJune, every once in a while, she thinks that I don't care about anything hardly, you know. And I kind of got loose when I got filled with the Holy Ghost. But, you know, LaJune would never walk out of the house hardly without putting her makeup on. She's got to have her hair all done like this, you know. I can get it right out of bed. My pajamas on. I can go out and take the trash out to the street.
Yeah.
See the neighbor across the street. Hi, how you doing?
Glory.
Hair all here, this way or that. I don't care what they think about me. I don't. Now, I'll fix up, you know. I'm not going to be come. I could almost go get me a biscuit, you know, with my hair all messed up, as long as the biscuit tasted good. Hallelujah. But, you know, social prosperity is a biggie. How do you get, though? First of all, you got to ask yourself, what does God think about me? He thinks I'm valuable. He thinks I'm valuable. He thinks I'm valuable. Glory. He thinks I'm as valuable as his son's blood.
Glory.
That's how much I'm worth. Glory. I never get my worth out of how much money I got or what house I live in or what car I drive.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes people are driving cars because they're low self-worth.
Amen.
They've got to get that car so that they can feel more worth. That car adds to their worth. To me, I add to that car's worth.
Right.
Now, I've got my 2010 Toyota Camry out here. When I get into that car's worth more.
That's right.
Because I'm worth more.
There you go.
The car don't add to my worth. So I don't have to have some new car every year. You know, as long as my car starts in the morning,
right,
and long as I can put it in drive,
glory,
and it don't go click, 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 you know, I'm good to go. Well, Pastor, you know, you're not putting on the air of prosperity. You're a prosperity preacher, and you're still, you know, Scott Webb got in my car. I was taking him, you know, and I said, how you like my car? Because he's been around the big time preachers, yeah. You know, and they're driving their Mercedes and they're driving their, you know, I mean, they got a lot of money in the big time preachers.
Wow.
I said, how you like my car? I said, he said, it's nice. You know, he's been. I said, you know what? This only had 16,000 miles on when I got it.
Come on.
And I just got it like 6 months ago. I found it online. Some woman that was 95 had been driving this car since 2010.
Wow.
And she only drove it like a couple thousand miles a year. I did the search on it. 2,000 miles a year and had it serviced.
Wow.
And now I got the car and it's almost 10 years old.
Right.
And it's only got a little bit of mileage on it.
See?
I can even almost smell the new. And it's 10 years old. Now, you know what I paid for that car? Oh, man, I didn't pay much at all.
Yeah.
I got that thing. Boy, howdy. And even the guy sent it to me free of charge.
Look at that.
Hey. Trucked it all the way from Louisiana. No, it was Alabama, excuse me. Alabama just brought it. The previous car I got came from New York.
Look at
that. I buy cars low mileage. Just get on Carfax, you know. And LeGene said, get rid of that app. Because she goes to Walmart, I go to Carfax. Hallelujah. Did y'all hear anything I'm trying to tell you today?
Yeah, thank you.
Everybody say, my worth.
My worth.
My security.
My
value.
My value.
Comes to me.
Not because of my clothes.
Not because of my car. Not because of my house. It comes to me from God. And His blood is the most valuable thing on this planet. God determines my worth.